But this morning, I'm awake. I'm ready to be here. I'm ready to speak, and I'm excited to speak specifically because we're talking about prayer, right? We're talking about prayer and fasting, and Ben and I have been switching off, and I get to talk about prayer, and he gets to talk about fasting. But before I get started, I want to remind you, first off, of what we talked about 2 weeks ago when I talked about prayer, right? We talked about David, King David, and he had this son, right? And God told him, your son's going to die, okay? And ultimately, he did, but David, he didn't let that affect him, right? He continued to praise God. He continued to worship God. He is prayer. And if you want to look to it in 51, and that's prayer, and he says, you are so good. Give me just, right? And that's David's prayer through his hurt. What I remind you of is we talked about joy and where our joy comes from, and that our joy only comes from God, right? Only place you can find joy is God. Joy is different than happiness, we find in whatever else, but joy specifically comes from God, and David's joy in God. The definition I gave for joy was something along the lines of having hope in believing that God, and that powerful he is, as big as God is, as amazing as God is, he loves you. He loves you, and he got it, all right? And so, again, that was David's thought when his child died, right? David knew, God got me. God's got it. God's under control. God will take care of this, right? Just wanted to remind you of that. But this morning, we're going to be talking about prayer, but specifically, we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer, all right? I'm sure most of you know it. I'm sure most of you have it memorized, okay? But we're going to take it section by section, and we're going to explain exactly what this means, right? So, first off, the whole prayer in itself. Matthew 6, verse 9 says, pray then in this way. This is Jesus talking. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the prayer that Jesus tells us. And like I said, you memorize it, you know it, you pray this. But what does it mean? What does it mean to actually pray these words that Jesus tells us, right? There's significance to it, all right? And when Jesus tells us how to pray here, he doesn't just stop. He says, this is how you pray, and that's it, right? But he goes on, and he continues to teach, and he continues to preach to these people. And following this prayer, he explains each section individually, okay? And it's not direct. It doesn't specifically say, oh, when it says, you know, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, that means this, and it's correlated to this. No. But we can put the pieces together, and we can figure out what it means. So the first part, okay, says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the first part of this prayer, which I will remind you over and over and over again in this message that is so significant, that this is first. This is the first thing that Jesus says. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done, right? Like I said, we're going to stay in Matthew, but we're going to continue. After Jesus gives the prayer, there's more to it afterwards. So Matthew 6, verse 19. It says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys. And where thieves do not break in or steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And then skip down to verse 24. Sorry, I got to find it. That was it. My bad. It's mushed there together. Verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. okay? This is correlated, again, to this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's saying prayer, the first thing that you do in prayer. The way that you start your prayers is by first admitting that God is so much bigger and that above all things, God's will be done. And then immediately he explains. He says, we're not here for worldly things. We're not here for money. We're not here for possessions, right? You can want this, you can want this, right? But ultimately, it's God's will. God's will be done. So when he says you can't serve two masters, you can't serve money and God, you can't have both, he's talking about this prayer that he tells us to give. And he says, when you come to pray, understand that you serve God. You don't serve the things of this world. You don't serve money, right? You don't serve your house, your cars. That's not why you're here. You're not here for those things. You're here for God and God alone, right? And God is so much bigger than those things. That's how he starts the prayer. It's so important that when we come and we pray to God, we understand that God is so much bigger than our worldly possessions. God is so much bigger than our worldly possessions. Prayer doesn't end there, though. Next part of the prayer is this. Give us this day our daily bread. There's multiple ways you could take this section, okay? But again, Jesus explains it immediately afterwards. So continuing on in chapter 6, verse 25, it says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Notice how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin thread for cloth. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. He says, but seek first his kingdom. Seek first God. Remember that first part of the prayer that we just talked about? We first seek God. We first understand that God is bigger. We first understand that God is so much more important, right? God is more important than our food. God is more important than our water. This next section, the way I take it, the way that I understand this, is that God is saying, after you recognize that I am great, after you recognize that God is all-powerful, then you can recognize that your needs, what you need to survive, or what God knows you need to survive, is provided to you, okay? This question that we ask in this prayer, I don't want you to take it as a question. It's not a question, sorry. Give us this day our daily bread, okay? It's not saying, God, could you give me something to eat? Could you give me some water? I'm kind of thirsty. No. It's saying, God, give me what I need. Give me what is needed for me to survive. And it's not saying food. It's not saying water. It's not saying clothes. God knows you need those things. God will provide those things. God is saying, what you need, I will provide for you. First, seek my kingdom. Again, the first part of the prayer. Understand that God is all-powerful. Understand how big God is. And then, in your prayer, you say, give us this day our daily bread. God, give me what I need, and know that he will give it to you. God, give me what I need to survive. And I'm not talking about wants. I'm not talking about a new car, a new house, a PlayStation, whatever it is, right? God, give me what I need. I'm not even talking about food. I'm not even talking about water. I'm saying, God, give me what I need, and what I need is you. What I need is God, right? God, give me what I need. That's the second part of the prayer. Third part of the prayer says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, two parts to this. A lot of times we look at the first part and we say, God, forgive us our debts. That's a great prayer. You should pray that. That is awesome, okay? But we miss out on the second part. It says, as we forgive our debtors. God, forgive us as we have already forgiven others, right? Forgive us as we forgive other people. Again, Jesus goes on to talk about this. Matthew 7 now, verse 1. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. From the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. This is so important. He's saying, you come and you ask for forgiveness, but you still hold grudges. You come in your prayers and you say, God, I need you to forgive me. God, I'm sorry, I messed up, I did all this stuff. Please forgive me for what I did, but we haven't forgiven others for what they did. We haven't forgiven others. When we pray, when we ask for forgiveness, we first have to forgive others. How can we expect God not to hold a grudge against us when we hold a grudge against other people? Right? Forgive me as I have already forgiven other people. When you come to pray, come knowing that God forgives you. God loves you. God saves you. We'll get into that more in a second. But first, you got to forgive others. Forgive others before you ask for forgiveness. Let go of your grudges before you ask God to let go of the grudges, of his grudges, right? Which God doesn't hold a grudge, right? Forgive others before asking for forgiveness. Fourth part. We'll go over all of this again at the end, wrap it up, and it'll all make more sense, I promise. It says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Last part of this, right? Do not lead us into temptation from evil. The way I see this is God guide us. God be with us. Don't leave me. I need you, right? Guide me, deliver me, save me. And again, Jesus explains it immediately after. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give you? Sorry, I skipped a slide. Or what person is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law of the prophets. And then he says after this, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is narrow and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it. This is Jesus explaining the last part of the prayer, right? Again, the last part of the prayer is this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, deliver us, guide us, be with us. God says, if you ask, he'll give it to you. Like the scripture said that we just read, if someone asks for a loaf of bread, you're going to give him a stone? How much more is God going to give you? And again, we're not talking about bread. We're not talking about water. We're talking about salvation this time. This verse, this prayer, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us, save us, guide us. God says, how much more will I give you if you ask? If we say in our prayers, if we ask, God, God, be with me, God, guide me, God, direct me, teach me where to go, he will. He will guide you. He will be with you. He will direct you. He will show you where to go. God's not going to give you a stone. If you say, God, guide me and direct me, he's not going to give you a snake. He's going to guide you. He's going to save you. He's going to be with you. And again, that's what it says in our prayer, right? This is the prayer. If I could flip there. This is how we pray. And again, I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer to you again before we go through this. He says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It starts with praise. When we pray, it starts with praise, right? It starts with understanding that God is so big, God is so good, and it's the first part of prayer, is going to God and saying, God, above all else, your will be done. Above all things I want, above all things in this world, God, you are bigger, you are better, you are amazing, you are all-powerful, God, you are good. This is how we start our prayers. God, despite what I want, despite anything else in this world, your will be done. Right? And it carries on through the rest of our prayer. The second part is this: give us this day our daily bread. We ask for our needs, knowing that he will provide. And again, when we're talking about needs, we're not talking about bread, we're not talking about water. We're saying what we need, and what we need is God. We say, God, give us today our daily bread. God, give us our daily take of you. God, give me you. Again, second part of God, give me you, and know that he will respond. God, give me what I need, and know that God will provide it to you. Think about it. When they fasted in the Bible, they fasted for 40 days, right? They fasted for very long periods of time. And I feel like we struggle to fast for 3 days, okay? But their prayers during that time, their prayers were, God, give me what I need. And they knew that if they had God, they didn't even need food, they didn't even need water, they needed none of that. They didn't need a thing. All they needed was God. They didn't even need food or water to survive. What they need, because they prayed this. They prayed, God, give me what I need to survive. Not what I think I need to survive, but God, give me what I need, what I truly need. And again, it's God. If we have a relationship with God, if we love God, if we trust God, is he not so much bigger than our food? Is he not so much bigger than our needs, right? God will provide it to you. Third part of the prayer, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We ask for forgiveness, but again, we first forgive others. A lot of times we come to prayer with wants and needs, our prayer requests, and these are these two sections, right? We ask for our needs, and we ask God to move. But you first, again, have to understand that God is so much bigger than those needs and those wants. When we pray for healing, when we pray for miracles, okay, we have to understand that God is bigger than those things. God is bigger than the sickness. That doesn't mean that he's going to heal it 100% of the time. But it means that even if he doesn't, God is still bigger than that. God is still bigger than the hurt. God is still bigger than the struggles. God is bigger than our needs. God is bigger than food and water, all right? And when we ask for forgiveness, when we ask God, I'm sorry, I'm hurting, understand that he will save you, and he is there. But who have you forgiven? Who have you yet to forgive, right? And then, final part of the prayer, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not to stray. God, help me not to stray. I don't want to leave you. I want to be with you. Going back to what we talked about 2 weeks ago when we talked about prayer, David, in his prayer, Psalm 51, he had lost his kid and didn't mention his kid a single time in his prayer. This is why. David prayed, don't leave me. God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. God, I need you in my life. Despite everything else that's going on, despite what I need, despite what I've done wrong, God, you are bigger. And again, that's why we have to start our prayer with praise. Because every step of our prayer, we have to understand that God is bigger. God is bigger than our needs. God is bigger than our forgiveness. God is bigger than us, right? We can't do this by ourselves. That's why we ask for guidance in our prayer. That's why we ask God, guide us. God, be with us. Because we can't do it by ourselves. God is bigger than us. God is bigger than anything in this world. This is how we pray. No matter what you pray, this first part of the prayer is so important and so significant. God, you are so much bigger than anything in this world. This is how you pray. And Jesus tells us this. When you think of the Lord's Prayer, when you go through the Lord's Prayer, first off, if you come across it in your daily reading, I urge you to read the next few sections after. All of chapter 6 and chapter 7 explain the prayer. It explains what Jesus means when he says, this is how you pray. We praise God. We understand, God, you are so good. God, you are bigger than any of my hurts. You are bigger than any of my struggles. You're bigger than any of my desires, right? And we pray, God, heal and move and perform miracles. But even if you don't, God, I understand that you are still so much bigger. God, and your will be done above my will. Your will be done. Again, that was David's prayer. God, you are so big. You are so good. You are so powerful. Your will be done above mine, above my own desires. God, you move. Your will, not my own. So much so that we put our needs down in front of God. He says not to worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, because God is bigger than that. God says, what are you so worried about? Eating, drinking? Come on. I've got that. God's got that. God will cover that because God is so much bigger than that, right? I know I've said it a million times already, but that's the importance of prayer. That's the importance of this. What I'm telling you and what Jesus tells us in this prayer. Let me read this prayer to you again. He says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done. God, you are so good. You are so powerful. Above all things, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give us what we need, not bread, not water, but what we need, and what we need is you, right? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We ask for forgiveness as we have already forgiven those that have hurt us, that have brought us pain, that we hold grudges against. We forgive them and then we ask for forgiveness. He says, do not lead us into temptation. Guide us. Be with us. God, we can't do this on our own. God, I can't do this on my own. I can't. Because if I'm doing it on my own, then I'm struggling and I'm there and I can't get out of it. But with God, God is with you in the struggles. God is with you in the hurts. This morning, so I have a little boy, he's 3.5 months old, okay, and he's been sick all week. He hasn't had a fever or anything like that, but he's had this really, really bad cough, okay. This morning, Bailey, my wife, and my kid were supposed to come to church, but she felt that she needed to go to the ER with him, okay, and so they have spent all morning at the hospital. The reason that I tell you this is because so badly, I want to go. Like, I want to go. I want to know what's going on. Like, what's happening with my kid? Is he okay? But what I'm saying is that God is bigger than that. And I know God is there. And I know God is healing, right? God is working, and I know he's there because God is so much bigger than that. And I know I need to be here. I was asked to speak. I was asked to play. God is so much bigger than my hurts. God is so much bigger than my struggles. God is so much bigger than what's going on. And when I pray for healing, obviously I pray that God is with my kid, but even still, I know that God is so much bigger than that. I know that God is working, and I know that God is so much bigger than the health of my kid even. Whew, that's hard to say. God is bigger than that. God is greater than that. Last week, Ben had you write on the whiteboard. He had you write yes, right? I don't know if you guys remember that or you did it. This week, I want you to write over the yeses, around the yeses, whatever it is. But I want you to think of a word that expresses how powerful God is. One word that you can think of, whether it's awesome, mighty, holy, whatever it is, that expresses how amazing God is. And I want you to know, no matter how many words are up there, no matter how many words I use to explain or express how amazing God is, it still does not measure up to how amazing he truly is, right? I cannot express to you how good God is, how amazing God is, how much bigger God is than all of our struggles and all of our hurts. But this morning, once we're done, I just write one word that you would use to express God, God's love, God's might, right? One word. Let's pray this morning. God, we first come to you and express, God, that you are so good and you are so much bigger than our hurts. You are so much bigger than our struggles, God, that no matter what goes on in our life, God, you are there and you are working, God, and your will be done above our own. God, you are so good and you are so powerful. God, you are amazing. God, I ask that this morning you would give us what we need. God, you would give us you. You would give us the opportunity to work for you, God, to be with you. God, I just ask that you would be here. You would show up, God, through our day, through our weeks. God, be here. God, give us what we need. God, we ask that you would forgive us. God, all of our struggles, all of our hurts, all of our anger, God, I just ask that you would take it. You would deal with it. God, you would put that away, God, and that you would help us to understand that you are bigger than our struggles and you are bigger than our anger. God, forgive us for when we fall short. God, and guide us. Guide us through our lives. Guide us through our struggles, our hurts. God, just be with us. Work through us. God, I just ask that you would use us. God, don't leave us. Be with us. God, again this morning, we praise you. We understand that you are so good. You are so big. You are so powerful, God. You are so amazing. We just ask that you would guide us. You would be with us and you would direct us every step of the way, God. God, we thank you for how good you are and how big you are. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. I know I'm cutting it short, but you guys are free to go and write on that whiteboard. You guys are dismissed.